bearing with one another. And there really are two main scriptures I want to look at, and then I had listed some supporting scriptures, but the markers are a little light. So anyway, and if you remember, and I just want to remind you, as Brother Mike brought up last week, the two main scriptures for this is in Ephesians and Colossians, and if you were to take the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, and there are some definite distinctions because Paul's dealing with two different issues, one in Ephesus and one in Colossae, but much of what is written in Ephesians as far as practical living is also in Colossians. So just there are many parallels, and so I want to look at that this morning. Well, let's read the two main scriptures, and then we'll go from there. So first go to Ephesians chapter 4, and then we'll go to Colossians chapter 3, and then we'll come back and forth in between the two with this thought of bearing with one another. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So there we have. Come on, bro. That's the Ephesians passage. Now go to Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to read from verse 12 on down a little bit. As Paul writes this, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Let me just read verse 14. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So, those are the two main passages. So, I'll ask you, and to get started, when you read that, where it says to bear with one another, what comes to your mind? Well, how would you? I would say it's not a word that we use every day. But if you had to define what bearing means, what do you think it means? Besides Yogi the Bear, or
patience,
okay,
enduring, yeah,
patience,
contending,
enduring. Anything else?
Putting up with. Is that... Yep, that's right.
That's a good way to put it.
You want to know something? That's exactly what the word means. One of the definitions. And I'm going to show you how the scriptures use it. But you're absolutely right, sister. Put up. Like my wife bears with me, she puts up with me.
That'll show our sanctification or not.
Yeah. Anything else? Anything else when you think of bearing? Okay. I'm going to put this down and I'm going to show you how it bears out. Get that? Bears out. That bearing with one another means, in one sense, standing. Wow, too many lines. Standing erect, or standing firm. I'm going to show you how it's used. And what's interesting to me, especially as you go through these one another's, is all the different terms that are spoken of in how we are to treat one another, how we are to act with one another, how we are to deal with one another, and yet there's distinctions in them all. And again, so as we're looking at 36 one another's, and yet, as I continue to say, and I will continue to say, they're interwoven, they're connected. They're not always the exact same thing. But I think you gave me patience, enduring, put up, standing firm. I'm going to show you how the word is used in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll read it if you don't want to look at it. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 4, we read this. It says, we are obligated to thank God for you all, all the time, brothers, as it is fitting, because your faith is growing more and more and your love for one another is increasing. That is why we boast among God's churches about your perseverance in faith in the face of all persecution and affliction that you are, I have in the New King James, enduring. What, and some might be, I have a different version? Okay. That's the same word that's used for bearing in Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3. That word, when he talks about facing persecution and endure, and that which was they were enduring, and that's where this really comes about standing firm. And so this idea of bearing with one another is not just putting up with. And I'm going to show you how that word is translated exactly that way in the scriptures. But it also has the idea of being able to withstand or being able to maintain yourself in the light of, and I hope to show you, in the light of offenses or in the light of what hopefully we'll talk about for a moment, in light of infirmities that we all possess. We use different words for it, like shortcomings and personality quirks and traits and propensities and all those different things. But this idea of bearing with one another really has, as one of its main meanings, that we don't become overwhelmed by it. Matter of fact, we're able to stand firm in the midst of it, and therefore we're able to conduct ourselves in the way that we should. Now, let me show you another way it's translated, and again, from the New King James, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20, and this is what it says, "For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face." And that word, "for you put up," is exactly the same word for bearing. That there is a reality in which that is a definition of it. So, I also wanted to bring this scripture into it, and this is from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 22, and it says, "And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written you in a few words." Bear with. And again, the thought is not just when you read it, this word sounds like a negative, don't it? Man, I can't keep putting up with you. Right? To me, this is not as much of a positive word as is a negative word. But this one is, to me, more positive. And that's why he says that we would do well to bear with the word of exhortation. In other words, not to be overcome with it, not to be flustered by it, not to be knocked sideways by it. Good morning, Cindy. But to be able to conduct ourselves in the light of it. So I wanted to show you that because I think it's essential when we read how the translators, and remember, depending on your version, you might have it, they might be a different way, but how the translators take the same word sometimes and put it in a different setting, or you break it out in a different way. Because sometimes it has more of the thought of being patient, and another time it has the thought of standing firm, and the context kind of dictates where that should be. So, when we think about bearing with one another, and if these are some of the ingredients, then I think we got some things to think about in our lives. So, let's go back to the Ephesians passage now, and I want to start to just consider it. So, we're looking at Ephesians, and as I said, go back and forth between Ephesians and Colossians. So, Ephesians chapter 4, and let me just read it again, because there's a point I want to make that I believe is essential to this whole thought. So, look what he says. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness,
long-suffering. And it's interesting how there's a distinction between long-suffering and bearing. Because you would think long-suffering and bearing would be the same thing, but it's not. It's a different word and has a little different connotation to it. Long-suffering, bearing with one another, and then it talks about how we ought to do this. We ought to do it in love. And I wanted to ask you to think about this because there's a couple of things. One is this. Both here, and I'm going to just, you don't have to do it. Stay right there. I'm going to go back to Colossians for a minute because I wanted to highlight a point. And the point is this. Look what Paul says in Ephesians 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling which you were called. And then in Colossians chapter 3, he says, therefore, as the elect of God and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. Here's the point, and I think it's important. We need to understand, brothers and sisters, that the one another's of the Bible, as we've been going through them in our study, as well as all the other instruction in the Bible, is to be considered by us in light of the reality of God's calling to us. In other words, I guess what I'm trying to say is, especially us who not only stand firm on the sovereignty of God and believe that God is the ruler of all and over all, but we must realize that we need to stand firm on the doctrines of grace. Not only because of the doctrine, but we need to stand firm on the doctrines of grace because they are the things that are to transform our lives. In other words, I guess what I'm trying to say, and maybe you disagree, and if you do, that's fine. I'll put up with you. But we who believe in the sovereignty of God and the doctrines of grace, who stand firm on that, we should be, in that sense, the people above all other people who consider our walks in a very serious, steadfast way. In other words, I guess what I'm trying to say, and if you think about it, I don't want to go too far off on this, but if you think about how the epistles are written, I don't care where you go. Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right straight through. You will find, and we've talked about this, but it's good to remind ourselves, you will find that the practical applications are on the latter half of the letters and epistles, right? Again, Romans is a perfect example. First 11 chapters are what? Basically doctrine. And then he goes into practice. And you can go to Ephesians, and the first chapters, first, especially chapter 1, chapter 2, and even to chapter 3, is doctrinal, right? And then it goes into practical application. Same thing with Philippians, same thing with Colossians and the letters to the church at Thessalonica. I guess what I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters, we have a very great charge by God, and we ought to consider that because we are the called of God. Now, that doesn't mean that people who don't believe in the sovereignty of God don't live as they ought to. That's not what I'm trying to say. Well, what I am trying to say is if all the doctrines of grace do is roll around in our heads and not in our lives, then I don't believe we understand the doctrines of grace. Would you agree with that? That practical living comes out of doctrinal truth. And that's why, unfortunately, many people will say, does doctrine really matter? Well, yeah, right? Because if you look how Paul frames this, it's almost like he's setting a ring and he's going to put this jewel in the middle of it for now of the one another's, loving one another, being lonely, being humble, bearing with one another. But the setting around it is basically what he just said. That we have a worthy walk according to the call that we've been given. And then in Colossians, being the elect of God. How we ought to be of such a character. And I guess that's where the rub really comes in, right, in our lives. is do we really walk in light of who we are? That's a question that would take much consideration and much care in our own souls and in our own minds. That the truth of the sovereignty of God and God's electing grace ought to be transformative. It ought to transform us from one kind of a person to another kind of person, right? Again, otherwise it's just head knowledge. And there are many people that could spit out the doctrines of grace, and that's all they could do is spit out the doctrines of grace. They can't live in the light of the doctrines of grace. So, and that goes true for all the other one of those. Again, I'll leave it at that. Brothers and sisters, we ought to be distinct. We ought to be distinct like no other people, especially us who uphold God's sovereign grace. Comments? Concerns? Compliments?
I remember one time I was called an oddball because I believed in this stuff. And so now I take that as a badge of honor because I'm doing the right thing. You know?
Yeah, you will... You will be called many things, right? I was called a Calvinism once.
Calvinism.
And then I said, a Calvinism? Where did you get that? He said, I got it on the internet. But again, if all we want to do is walk around and say, I'm a Calvinist, without having a life that complements being a Calvinist, then are we really a Calvinist, right? Because again, it's more than doctrine; it's a worldview, isn't it? And not only is it a worldview; it's the way we live. So again, as Paul writes this, he never loses sight of that. And I don't care where you go in the scriptures, especially as we look at the epistles, Paul, as well as the other writers, but Paul highlights. Look at Romans, just think about what Romans 12:1 says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by what? By the mercies of God. Well, isn't he again talking about the reality of God having sovereignly granted us newness of life? In light of that you have a walk worthy. And so again, all these things are important and essential in our calling. Okay, so let me ask you to think a little bit more. Well, before I do that, I'm asking a question. Does this apply only in the church? In other words, are we only to bear up with one another in the church?
Well, I was thinking earlier, you read the last part of verse 2 there, where it says, bearing with one another in love.
Right.
Having patience and enduring and standing firm and especially putting up with somebody or people in love,
yeah,
is hard to do. It can be hard to do.
Yeah. It can be hard to do with people we love.
Yeah. But Jesus said, you know, if someone compels you to carry his stuff for a mile, go with him twain, you know.
Yeah.
Jesus asked you for your coat, give him your cloak too.
Yeah.
Jesus doesn't say, simply for those who are within the body of Christ. Those weren't the people who were compelling you to do these things.
So as we go through these one another's, then there's a very strong application within the body of Christ. And I'm going to show you why he says that and how he says it here. But would you not agree with me also that, as Paul says, as much as lies within you, what? Live peaceably with all men. Although, again, I mean, for us to just say I love, for me to just say I love everybody exactly the same, I'm just a liar, right? But
we'd be more apt to show these things with fellow Christians than we would be outside, you know?
And there's reasons for that, right? I mean, there's definitely reasons, some good, some not so good, right? Yeah. But these one another's, and especially this. So again, as I said, this truth of our calling is really how we are to work it out. Otherwise, we're nothing better than hearers of the word, right? That we'd just be like Pharisees. So, anyway, this whole idea of bearing with one another and putting up and, you know what's interesting, and I guess I think about this as I study for these things and examine myself, is that God knows my heart in this, in these areas. I mean, I think we're all pretty good at disguising ourselves. Just my thought. Making people think one thing when we really think it's something else. And the reality is, as we go through these one another's and bearing with one another, that God sees our hearts. And I wonder sometimes when we consider whether we're going to, as I said, put up with one another in a positive way, not a negative way, we're really saying in our hearts, I don't get mad, I get even. Again, I'm just trying to get us to think about how these things, these one another's, are they're not light and fluffy. They're for us to really, because I think that's where we really struggle. Wouldn't you agree? In the church, let me put it this way: in the churches, isn't it not easier to demonstrate Christian character? And are we not? Again, just asking, are we not all a little bit on guard that we don't let anything slip when we're with one another?
I don't know what you're talking about, brother.
I don't get mad, brother. I get even. Come on. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is true. We all put on a certain outward appearance, right? And yet, God knows our hearts, so are we really loving one another? Are we really serving one another? Are we really caring for one another? Or are we doing that because that's the thing we ought to do? Just something to think about. Again, I'm trying to drill down a little bit and get us to think about things in a little bit different way. Okay. Now, the next point I want to make is this, that bearing with one another in those two passages has the meanings that we wrote down here of certain things, but I want you to see one of the main points in why that is so important. So look at this again in Ephesians. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling in which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Look, verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And you can keep going on. There's one body and one Spirit. You were called in one hope of your calling, and one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That these things that we are considering over these months are meant to produce something. Not just Christian character, and not just transform our lives, but it is to promote unity within the body. And you remember those, remember how the scriptures speak about the things that God hates? Right? Six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination. Anybody remember what the last one is? Sowing discord among the brethren. So, think about that. We need to be particularly careful with one another, not only because we are responsible for our walk before God, but we are responsible to promote unity, because the opposite of unity is what? Disunity. Right? So we got to be careful about that, because we are to, again, as the light on the hill, as the city on the hill, and we are the light of the world. Could you imagine if someone walks into our church, and I'll go back to what, you know, Brother Mike had brought up, if what we're doing is biting and devouring one another, instead of enduring with one another, bearing with one another, putting up with one another, again, in a positive way, that we might promote unity. So people might see that there is a distinction among us, that we're separate from the world, but not only that, but that we actually do care for one another. It's not just something we put on in an outward way. And so he says that. He says the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Any thoughts on that as far as, let me put it this way. And I think Brother Mike would agree. One of the reasons why we chose to do the one another's was because of its practical, the hope of practical results, right? That we would, because we would grow in grace. Because if you're going to grow in grace, then you're going to do what? You're going to promote the glory of God, and you're going to promote unity. And in that way, it is very practical, isn't it, that we would do such a thing. Okay, a couple minutes left. I want you to go to the Colossian passage now again, where the other main passage for this thought of bearing with one another. And let me just read it to you again, because there's something a little different that's added in the Colossian passage that's not in the Ephesians passage, although it's implied in the Ephesian passage. It's just not specifically mentioned, and you'll see it. Verse 12, Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Remember, the Ephesian passage had that same thought of doing these things in love. The thing that's added in the Colossian passage is not specifically mentioned in the Ephesian passage is this thought of forgiveness. And what I want to do with that is I want to mention it, but I'm also going to defer. And what I mean by defer is, if you remember last week, Brother Mike, we had some conversations about forgiveness, and Brother Mike's going to come back next week, and we're going to drill down a little bit further in forgiveness. So I want to kind of leave it to him to do that. But I do want to say this. If we are going to put up with one another, if what I said is true, if bearing with one another has the idea of being patient and enduring, standing firm and putting up, then there's going to have to be a great amount of long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, and forgiveness. Because if not, we're just going to become overcome by bitterness. There's just going to be, and that's a dangerous thing, wouldn't you agree? That root, that kindness starts to form, and then somehow we water it a little bit, and it gets a little bit bigger, and before you know it, it invades us. And so we struggle with one another because we have all these other things. We have so much other luggage that we can't work on the positives because we're so busy trying to deal with the negatives that are in our minds and in our hearts. So, and again, if you were to think about it, one of the things that strikes me is how we live in such a day when there's so little forgiveness. I think of it when I watch people drive. Well, I'll tell you, you infringe in someone's airspace, and it don't take, you think about it, it's amazing. Almost every single day, there is road rage shooting somewhere. People are so unwilling to put up with anything, and they don't forgive. As a matter of fact, they get even. We live in a world of such deficiency when it comes to the graces. And forgiveness is certainly one of them. I mean, it wasn't that long ago I read a story of somebody cut somebody off, and the guy actually followed that person home to kill him. Imagine that. You talk about raging inside. There was no putting up with. There was a desire for vengeance. And so, especially as we consider that, my friends, we live in such a bad, if you will, a bad time in that sense. And so bearing with one another, as I said, it should be transformative in our lives. We should learn to be able to put up with one another. And here's what I mean by that. And I'm going to quote from somebody who wrote on that. But think about this. God has created us all so unique, right? Different. God has created us male, female, young, in position we're in, as he puts us in, but a young, old, in between. Long hair, no hair, long beards, some beard, all kinds of things. And wouldn't you all agree that we're all a little peculiar? Or am I the most peculiar person in the world? You cannot answer that question. No, I was talking to my wife. I'm worried about you, but you don't know me as well as she does. But we're all a little bit weird, right? We all got our own.
Well, like a personality.
Right, right, and some of those personality things are, yeah. And some are actually frustrating to other people in their personality, right? And I'm not diving into the well of trouble here. But, see, when I walk into my house, I put my keys wherever I think of putting them. So sometimes they're in my room. Sometimes they're on the island. Sometimes I might even leave them over here. But you know what? In 3 seconds, they're in the drawer where they're supposed to be. Because she puts up with me, see? But to me, it's, again, in my world, whether I put the keys this way or that way, or this room or that room, but there's a consequence to that, right? Because then I say, and I said it to her the other day, baby, you know where my keys are? If you put them where they should have been, you would have known where they were.
According to her.
Because that's the right way. Listen, our personalities, especially in the church, or particularly in the church, or in any relationship, have to be of such grace of all these one another's, and certainly this thought of putting up with one another in a positive way and not being flustered, standing erect, and you're not shaking it. Anyway, let me read to you what one commentator said about this. He said this, and this was in the relationship of a husband and wife. And he says, such is the imperfection of human nature, one can find enough in each other to embitter life if they choose to magnify imperfections and to become irritated at trifles, and there is no friendship that may not be marred in this way, if we will allow it. Hence, if we would have life move on smoothly, we must learn to bear and forbear. We must indulge the friend that we love in the little peculiarity, of saying and doing things which may be important to him, but may be of little moment to us. Like children, we must suffer each other to build his playhouse in his own way and not quarrel with him because he does not think our way is the best. Oh, that's a pretty potent statement. And I think we need to consider that, particularly in the Church of Christ, because, again, the Church of Christ is to exemplify the right relationship of people with God. And certainly, I'll put it this way, if you're not in a right relationship with your wife or your husband or your family, you're going to have a hard time being in a right relationship with the church. Right. It will evidence itself. It'll come out somewhere along the way. But I particularly like where he says, we must suffer each one to build his playhouse in his own way. So this whole idea of putting up and standing firm, that bearing with one another is not just, well, man, all right, do it your way. It's, okay, you're different than me. I'm not going to be fazed by it. Now, again, there are things that we would say are essential that we cannot just brush away, right? But there's that whole area of well, in the church, in the whole area of liberty, right? So, and you know the saying, right? So, things essential, what? unity in things not essential, liberty in all things, charity, right? If you don't know that saying, by the way, memorize that because it's a deep well of truth. But if you and I think about it, as Paul writes this, and as he writes it both in Ephesians and Colossians, where he talks about this, and he's saying, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on certain things after he's told us to put off certain things, right? Because you can't put on unless you put off. So if we're not going to be putting on humbleness of mind and bearing on another, then what are we going to have? We're going to have exactly what he talks about. Wrath and malice and envy and hatred and all those other things. But bearing one another, forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And then you can continue reading and you can see how these things interconnect. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. Be thankful. Again, that we don't stumble over things so easily, that we give each other, if you will, we give each other enough space. And then if someone invades my space, I'll just end it this way, kind of. Many, many years ago when I was still working in transportation, I was a manager and I had people working. Anyway, I had to become a Smith System trainer. Anybody ever hear of Smith System? It's a driver awareness course. You ever heard of it? Okay. What it is, it's not a defensive driving, it's actually a positive driving course. And there's five keys to this. It's all good kids like milk. And it's it has thoughts about how you need to create a space cushion when you drive. And how if you maintain that space cushion, you basically will keep yourself safe and you will keep others safe. And one of the premises of that is as people take your space cushion from you, rather than getting mad at them taking your space cushion, you back out and you recreate that space cushion. And I have found over the years that what it does do is it not only makes me feel safer, it makes me feel better. I'm not as agitated. Do you ever drive in a car with somebody that you're not happy with the way they drive? Oh, I don't care. Husbands and wives, are you all happy with how your mate drives if they drive?
Don't start it now.
I'm going to start this fire before I leave. No, but there are people. Matter of fact, I won't say who it is, but me and Candy were talking about someone this morning. That when I get in the car with them, I'm always looking for that handle. And the thing that really gets me is they're always complaining about how other people drive, and I'm scared that they're driving in the car with them. And so I got to bear up with them. So when Brother Mike pulls out here at 438 miles an hour, just get out of his way. So that's right. My whole point is, brothers and sisters, as we close, that this idea of bearing with one another has a very positive aspect to it. It's not just I'll take it on the chin. That's not the thought. The thought is, as we would be lowly and meek and humble and gentle, as we're walking in the light of who we are that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, as we would consider that we ought to be promoters of unity and not disunity, that we would realize that bearing up with one another, even as Christ bears up with us. And that's why he brings in the forgiveness, which again, Brother Mike will open up a little bit more. So, remember, in many things we all stumble. Remember, that's what James said. And we ought to be slow to speak, slow to wrath, and what? Swift to hear. But I think we change things around, right? I know for myself, I'm too quick to speak, too quick to wrath, too slow to hear. But maybe we can look at these one another as we go through them and finish them out over the next course of a few months and find some real positive practical instruction for us. So, is Eleanor okay, brother?
Great.
Okay, good. We were a little concerned about Eleanor, so Brother Mike ran over there, and she seems to be okay, so that's good. All right, let's just close with a word of prayer, and we'll continue in our worship. Father, again, thank you for our day. Thank you for who we are.